Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. This week is just so wonderful. These are some of my most favorite readings in Scripture, and the more I read them each year, or many times during the year, the more I enter into an understanding of what it must have been like. I don't fully grasp it, obviously, but I begin to understand what it must have been like for people who had they didn't know whether they believed or not. He was a criminal. He was crucified. Why am I believing this? Or why do I, how can I put it? It's so hard to, when we're reading the scriptures, it can become hard to think I'm just reading these dry words on a piece of paper. But it is the Holy Spirit who enlivens these words so that we can, in a sense, enter into the mind and the mentality and the fear and the joy all mixed as these disciples went through those days of Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday. We can enter in with them by the power of God, and we can share in the revelation of the Son of God to them. Because God wants to reveal himself not just to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus that we read about, not just to his own disciples, the 12, but he wants to reveal himself to each and every one of us. He wants to enter your heart and my heart today, right now, so that even though we're recounting something that happened in the past, the grace of that event is present for you today. The grace is there to touch your heart and to draw you deeper and deeper into a personal relationship with him. You're not just recounting a past event. You're entering into, in a certain way, the river of grace that flows from the heart of Christ for everyone who will turn to him. So let's take a look at the first reading for today from the Acts of the Apostles. And we continue from what we read the other day. As the crippled man who had been cured clung to Peter and John, all the people hurried in amazement toward them in the portico called Solomon's Portico. When Peter saw this, he took advantage of the opportunity. He's no longer afraid. He didn't just say, "Let's get out of here, guys." He took advantage of the opportunity. He addressed the people. "You children of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why do you look so intently at us as if we had made him walk by our own power or by our own piety, that is, our holiness? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him." He's blaming them. He's pointing the finger at them. And Peter no longer is afraid to do that. "You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name, this man whom you see and know, his name has made strong, and the faith that comes through it has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you." He turns to this man who's standing here, this man who was a cripple. This man you saw lying at the gate probably for years, begging alms. Now you see him in perfect health. "Now I know, brothers and sisters, that you acted out of ignorance just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be wiped away and that the Lord may grant you times of refreshment and send you the Christ already appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the times of universal restoration, of which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. And then he quotes Moses, "A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen to all in all that he may say to you. Everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be cut off from the people." Brothers and sisters, we're called to listen to Christ, to really listen to Christ. And when we really listen to embrace the truth, to let it change our lives, believe me, it's one decision you will never, ever be sorry about. And then Peter goes on to say, "Moreover, all the prophets who spoke from Samuel and those afterwards also announced these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors when he said to Abraham, 'In your offspring all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways." God has chosen to come and to heal your sin, to break the power of Satan in your life, to set you free, to bless you, to turn you away from evil and toward good. And you know, right now, in this very moment, as you listen to this program, God holds out the same grace to you. Perhaps you're mired in sin, perhaps steeped in sin, perhaps you've tried many times to break free and have not been able to. Just get down on your knees right now as you listen to this program. And say, "Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe that you are the Son of God. I do believe that you came on this earth to set me free from my sin, to break the power of sin and death, so that I would not die forever. I want to give my life to you. I want to follow you more closely as your disciple." However you want to say those things, say them in your own words. But stop right now. If you're someone who's been away from God, stop. Just stop in your path. Listen to these words and let God touch your heart. Psalm 8, "O Lord our God, how wonderful is your name." I really urge you, Psalm 8 is not long. I urge you to take out the scripture today and read Psalm 8. It's beautiful. "What is man that you should be mindful of him? Or the son of man that you should care for him? Why are you so good to us, you who are Lord over all the earth and all the created things of the earth?" Take time to pray Psalm 8 today. It's a very, very powerful one. And then we go to, again, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, just as we did yesterday, only this time we're going to read verses 35 to 48. So the disciples, you remember, after they talked to Jesus on the road to Emmaus, they turned around and they went back. They went back. See, they were leaving the community, so to speak. They were leaving the band of disciples that they had been part of. That's what happens sometimes when we get hurt or we're terribly confused. We pull away. These two had pulled away. But now they come back once they recognize Jesus as he revealed himself to them in the Word and in the Eucharist. They turn around and they go back to the community. You need the community, brothers and sisters. Don't absent yourself from it. You need it. Because when your faith is weak, theirs may be strong. When theirs is weak, yours will be strong for them. We all help one another on the path. So, the disciples had recounted what had taken place along the way and how they had come to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And while they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst. It must have been such a shocking time, wouldn't you think? Suddenly, there he is. He's right there. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost, even though they have these stories that we saw him, but they can't comprehend it fully. We've all been in situations, or at least a lot of us have been in situations like that in our life, where you just can't believe that what is in front of you is really true because it seems as though it should be impossible. But he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. See, it is I myself. Touch me. See, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" He's going to show them that he really is there humanly. "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of baked fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them so they could see. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. That's why I died." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And Jesus will do that for us. If we persevere in reading him, we will come to see the power of the living word in our own lives. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. God wants to do that for you. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." You are witnesses of these things. And that call is to us, to those of us Christians, to those of us Catholics. There is a need to respond to this word. You are witnesses of these things because we believe that the word of God is living and active. We believe that the scriptures are without error. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us to, in a certain sense, to take up the staff from the early apostles and to continue by our lives, by the work we do, by the relationships we have, to testify to the truth of Scripture. Yes, this word is true. Yes, I base my life on it. I remember somebody saying to me, "Well, that qualifies you for nothing but being a fool." And I said in return, "And I'm glad to be a fool in your eyes for the sake of Christ. But I know that what I believe is true, and I stand on it." And he looked at me for a long time, and he said, "I wish I had your faith." And I said, "You can." I don't know if he ever accepted what I said. But people are touched by faith. And they'll try in every way to discredit what you're saying. But if you simply remain calm and confident and continue to pray for them and live out your beliefs and speak of your beliefs where that's appropriate, God will touch many, many hearts. This is Easter week. Do you not think, I do, that the Good Shepherd is out looking and searching for souls, and he wants to do it through us? Will you respond to him now, today? God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.